Hola, ¿cómo están? Mi nombre es Jesús Dávila y este es el podcast de Compliance de la Oficina de Caracas, un espacio donde conversamos de compliance, conversamos de cumplimiento, conversamos de ética. Y hoy es una fecha especial. Yo me siento privilegiado, feliz de tener a alguien como Lelisha Naidu en nuestra cita mensual. Ella es la líder del área de derecho económico en nuestra oficina de Johannesburgo, en Sudáfrica. Es una excelente persona, he tenido la oportunidad de conocerla en persona, aparte una líder del mercado en Sudáfrica, y pues es una oportunidad de lujo para que podamos acercarnos a esa experiencia africana, pero sobre todo una experiencia global. Voy a cambiar el inglés para poder conversar con Lelisha en este momento. So as I was saying, we feel honored and glad, and this is a great chance to have Larry, Lelisha Naidu in our podcast. She's a leader in her market. I've had the chance of meeting her in person. She's a great individual, a leader in South Africa legal market. I think she has broken a lot of barriers in many aspects of her great and awesome legal career. But now we're going to talk about ethics and talk about how ethics work around South Africa, how they work in Africa in general, certainly in the world. But first, and please let me tell you how honored I am to have you, Larry. How are you? How's everything in South Africa?
All is very, very well, Jesus. Thank you so much for having me. And it's absolutely an honor and a privilege to be here and to be talking with you. So thank you for the time. All is well in South Africa. Thank you.
That is awesome. A great country. I had the chance to visiting South Africa at some point. It's a beautiful country. So, but first, we always do the obligatory question that we do with all of the people that come to our podcast, and that is, we want to know. You want to know how you got involved in becoming a lawyer. How did you got into Baker? We know that you're a star in your field in competition law. So let us know about yourself.
Now, thank you very much for the question, and also for all of the kind words. I got into law, Jesus, because particularly because of the climate in South Africa, the historical situation where both my parents were very actively and heavily involved in activism towards, you know, transitioning to our democracy, and were very much involved in sharing some of the thinking and the discourse around equality and getting us kind of conscious around these issues. So, you know, I ultimately wanted to become a human rights lawyer. So I started my career. I did a human rights stint. I also kind of worked at the Constitutional Court of South Africa, which as a legal researcher to the Deputy Chief Justice at the time. And really got very passionately embroiled in this world of human rights in the South African context, and then moved and then got some good advice from from the judge to whom I reported at the time, saying, ethics and transformation and equality and all the things that are very passionate core principles to you don't necessarily belong in the NGO space, in civil society groups. You can join a corporate organization and still propagate and advocate for those things. And I'd received an offer from a domestic firm, and you know, the advice was, give it a go, try this out. You might find that you know, you don't need to go to a civil society group to really live and breathe and make an impact in relation to your passion. So I started off, and I was very happily placed in a competition antitrust team you know, where I really believe it is at the forefront of the kind of change I was kind of seeking to be involved in. You know, in South Africa, we have antitrust is a piece where public interest issues are hugely important. It's this idea of regulating not just the deal itself, but the impact of the deal on the South African economy and its people and the public. And so I kind of became passionate about it and found my space, found my stride within that realm. And then, of course, took it from there, got involved very heavily in work outside of competition law, so lots of pro bono work, lots of human rights related cases. And that's been my career. I've been at Baker McKenzie for 8 years in the antitrust and competition team, and have also been involved in certain leadership related roles as well.
That is an awesome story. And I take from that one key word that you just mentioned, and that is passion for what you do, and passion and how to engage into that passion, but also canalize and make that passion useful as to what your goals are. And I really admire that. And in that regard, you are currently the managing partner of the South African office for Baker McKenzie. And certainly you have a role, not only within the practice, but also as a leader in the legal market of South Africa, and I dare to say in the African market. So how do you foresee the issue of compliance and the issue of ethics within the legal profession, and specifically within South Africa? How do you see, what's the challenge currently that now you are facing as a leader within the market?
Yeah, no, thank you. And it's a hugely, hugely important question. The real conundrum, the real difficulty is that in South Africa, and certainly in emerging economies on the continent, there's clear acknowledgement of the role of compliance and the importance of compliance and ethics on paper. So we have this very progressive strides made towards advocating for compliance, high levels of compliance and high degrees of ethical issues in the policy, in the legislation, and you know, in relation to issuing these messages from the top. However, our news reports, and indeed the news reports on the continent, sometimes demonstrate a gap between the policy underpinnings and the policy commitments on the one hand and the lived realities on the other. You emerge out of a particular economic situations and structures that make anti-bribery and corruption efforts difficult to police and difficult to beat. And so we are on a journey as a country, indeed, and certainly our mandates often extend beyond South Africa and to other jurisdictions on the continent, where we're having to advise on these issues. As a leader, in terms of our oath of office and our professional obligations to our law society and the like, ethics is an uncompromising factor in relation to the way in which we do business. In fact, our professional body is as rigorous as to get you involved in very severe and stringent investigations where, what one is even impugned as being unethical or non-compliant. And so we do have a very rigorous professional body that monitors that. As Baker McKenzie, in South Africa, it has been an uncompromising factor of the way in which we have done business. It is an uncompromising point in relation to the way in which the leadership team leads the business and indeed conducts its business with clients. But there is work to be done in the country and on the in the region as a whole.
I got one of the things that you just mentioned, I believe is awesome, and that relates to the fact of this being a journey, this being a work that is done each day. And certainly we share that in Latin America, being us also emerging economies and most likely facing similar challenges. Certainly Venezuela is a jurisdiction that has evolved in a way in which, well, compliance has become certainly one of the biggest issues for a jurisdiction. But again, as you mentioned, we might have on paper great laws and regulations on the subject, but they do not necessarily reflect the reality and the way in which everything that relates to the law, and especially to the legal profession, is in full compliance and fully understands the impact of it. So I certainly understand, and I think it's great that you actually define this as a journey, because indeed it is. And taking that point of the journey, Larry, I want to ask you about how did you see the future? I mean, I think it's hard to having the notion of a journey. There's at some point a place to get, and I know that the challenges are many and of different kinds. Certainly, you have our society has a lot of challenges. I mean, the Latin American society, Venezuela, but certainly South Africa and the African communities have a lot of challenges in regards to ethics, in regards to the legal profession. So how did you foresee the future? How did you see Baker McKenzie in South Africa? How did you see the legal profession in South Africa and Africa and for years to come? How do you see that future?
Yeah. No, thank you. I mean, great question again. And certainly, perhaps on the topic of compliance, and then perhaps I can broadly draw from that. I think that firstly, compliance has to be a culture, and it has to be embedded within organizations and within the organizations of our clients, within government. It has to become a culture that's lived, and so the journey for me is about translating the laudable policies and the laudable legislation and regulations into a lived reality, meaningful action. And that requires a deliberate focus that's kind of embedded in the organization, that infiltrates the organization into every crevice and every corner. I personally believe that the compliance journey in the context of South Africa and Africa is also tied to the socioeconomic journey, because I think that a number of the issues arise from a kind of socioeconomic inequalities and instabilities that result in certain types of conduct and behavioral issues. So I see a growth in the South African economy and the African economy as a whole, leading to a kind of increased compliance culture. But hopefully there's also a deliberate efforts to ensure that these are not just laws on paper or regulations or policies on paper, but are actually lived by the private sector, by the public sector as a whole.
That's a great answer, because certainly you cannot make something grow out of a desert. So in the sense that people need to understand the value and the utility of this kind of regulations, and certainly not only from a practical economical perspective, but also from, I guess, ethical, more philosophical perspective. And that, I think that's something that actually enriches this practice in a way of how we can actually make the lives of people, I guess, a little bit better. And on that in mind, I don't want to lose this chance to ask you something that I think it's really important. You have mentioned your background as a public law kind of human rights attorney. And although people might think that the jump from being this public NGO kind of attorney to a corporate monster that is Baker McKenzie all over the world might be something quite odd or strange. I'm pretty sure that we have a lot of examples of such as yourself within our organization, me being one, so you being also another. So one of the things that I want to ask you, and this is more of a general question, is what do you think is the role of us as a law firm or law firms in general? And aside from the business, we know that this is a business. We know that we need to make this efficient from an economical perspective. And that's a given. We are aware of that. But from a more, I guess, from a missions perspective, from a personal perspective, each one has a journey. We go back to that word. And this journey and the role of a law firm, not only to you, but to society in general, what has been that for you? What that has meant to you? I was mentioning at the beginning that you have been a person that have overcome barriers within your society. And I think that's true for many people within our organization. I don't want to talk about the barriers because perhaps we don't want to talk about the bad things. We want to talk about the good things, and the good things that you're here. You're a leader. You're the managing partner of an office in Baker McKenzie in South Africa. So how does that resonate with you? And how does that resonate with the law firm and the community in South Africa?
Yeah. And thank you, Jesus. I mean, this question is one which is very core to my heart, and so I'll speak from a place of much passion when I respond. First and foremost, on the issue of what is the role of us as lawyers within a firm in relation to society as a whole, I've always believed, and I've always passionately believed, that we have to have a social conscience outside of the work that we do. That we are part of, we are a microcosm, we are part of a macrocosm, and that we have an obligation to enrich society, to contribute to the eradication of ills that we see out there and to make a difference. And we do that in two ways. And we have in Johannesburg really emphasized this. And I have, in the short time that I've taken this role, have made a huge emphasis around exercising our social conscience as citizens of this country and of this world and of the society. And so a part of that is saying, what can we do on pro bono work? What can we do on corporate social responsibility initiatives? What can we do on sustainability? And that's not to get a return. That's not for the bottom line or for profitability, but that's the kind of lawyers and people that Baker McKenzie cultivates. So that would be the first response. And then in relation to kind of my role, which is a role that is often described as one that has broken barriers, and we won't talk about the barriers absolutely, but perhaps just to say this, I mean, what has been important about that for the South African legal market, and indeed perhaps beyond the legal market itself, is the notion that leadership is attainable to people, you know, that did not see themselves in that particular way, and it could be the case, because even I did not see myself in that particular way. There was a point in time where I did what I needed to do, where I was driven by a social conscience, by the values, and by, you know, hard work. But ultimately, you know, the role and the appointment stands for much more than me. And so in that way, I think social impact through leadership is hugely important, and I think that's what Baker McKenzie has done by making some of these bold moves.
Larry, I cannot tell you how grateful I am to have accepted this invitation. Thanks for bringing your passion to this conversation. I think it has been a very inspiring conversation, not only because we touch upon ethics and compliance, which is what we talk about here, but also because we have talked about many other things. And I think one of the key takeaways of this is inspiring, making people attain something that they thought they could not attain. And that actually relates to anyone, independently of where they are. I mean, right. I guess the message is that if you want it and you work hard, most likely you will get it. And that's a really powerful message. So Larry, thank you for being here. Thank you for accepting this invitation. We know you're a very busy person, but we appreciate you taking this time to talk to us and certainly to give this message to our listeners. Thank you.
It's been wonderful to talk. Thank you so much.
So that's it. That's the Compliance Podcast of the Caracas Office. I am Jesús Ávila, and thank you for being here. Así termina nuestro podcast de Compliance de la Oficina de Caracas. Es, como siempre, una gran oportunidad para conversar de las cosas que nos ocupan en los temas de ética, pero también para inspirar, que es un poco el mensaje que nos deja la conversación de hoy. Yo soy Jesús Dávila y estoy seguro que nos escucharemos en otra oportunidad. Hasta luego.